Please pray with me. O Heavenly Father, Divine Mother, beloved Jesus Christ, Blessed Master, dearest Mother, beloved David, saints and sages of all religions, I bow to all of you. Free my life from all obstacles and give me physical, mental, and spiritual development. Make my mind thy temple. Make my heart thy altar. Make my love thy home. Be thou the only king, reigning on the throne of my consciousness. Peace, bliss, amen. Let's have a few minutes of meditation before we start. But before we start the meditation music, I'd like us to do the opening of the medulla. And with the changing of the seasons, it's easy to start to feel a heaviness, to feel weighed down, and that God is not as readily available. And so this time we're going to do the 20 part tense and hold, but we're going to tense it to a high level. So we're going to work a little harder to break through that medulla that may feel blocked. So starting with the left foot, tense to high and hold. Right foot, tense to high and hold. Left calf, right calf. Left thigh, right thigh. Left buttock, right buttock, lower left arm, again to high tension, right lower arm, left upper arm, right upper arm, lower stomach, or abdomen, upper stomach, left chest, holding all the other parts, right chest, left neck, right neck, throat, holding all for the count of 10 till it vibrates. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, throwing out the breath and releasing. And feel the energy running up the spine through the medulla. Either to the heart center or the ajna. Flowing naturally and smoothly. With that, let's have a few minutes of meditation with Ramana. Energy flows into your body through the medulla. Feel the warmth and the light filling up every part of your being. Just allow it to cascade in. There's no flow, repeat the tension and release.
tonight?
The readings are on surrender and come mostly from David's blogs. Surrender is key to finding God realization. We hear the words, we receive the teaching, yet life hits us where it hurts, and we find ourselves caught in the web of conflicting reaction, love and hate, attraction and repulsion, like and dislike, plans made and plans frustrated. We think we are prepared to surrender, but oh no, not that! On top of life seeming to go after the very things we want to protect, there's also the complication of knowing exactly what surrender means. In modern vocabulary, surrender oftentimes means giving in, throwing in the towel, giving up in defeat. That's why the ego doesn't like it. That's my parentheses. We don't want to give up the ego. And the ego doesn't want to give up control. When we look at the lives of great spiritual masters and saints, we see that this is obviously not what is meant. For these unstoppable personalities fight remarkable battles on the human front, persevering when the world stands against them, giving their lives in ceaseless activity, and in some instances literally. There is no hint of becoming flaccid when it comes to standing up for the truth, virtue, and God. This surrender is not giving in to the world, the body, or desire nature. Rather, it is total abandonment to God's will. Anyone who has lived much of a life can look back and see many lifetimes within this one life. Various stages where life takes radical changes and turns us in completely new directions from the way we had been going. This can be particularly true of one surrendered to the will of God. While there is no template that God-realized souls follow, many times each one found their lives following a very different course from their assumed natural trajectory. Lahiri Mahasaya met Babaji, and the great master was directed back into family life and career when all he wanted to do was to stay with his beloved guru. Papa Ram Dass was married with a young daughter, and his direction from God took him into a wandering sannyas life without any outer support but God alone. Both these great masters had to completely surrender all their ideas of what they thought they wanted or should do to the will of God's direction. And we know Swami Satchidananda also wanted to go live in the mountains like Papa had and just be alone and meditate on God. And Papa and Mataji saw that he needed to be surrounded by people. He needed to surrender his sense of being alone, being solitary, and be surrounded with others and serving others and feeling the love of others, which he didn't receive as a child. Swami Satchidananda's mother died when he was quite young, and his stepmother was unkind, and he was quite distraught much of his life. And even attempted suicide 2 different times. And so when he heard that Papa said, the world is exactly as it should be, he knew that Papa knew what he needed to learn. And he heard it in Papa's words. He felt it in Papa's presence. And so he left everything and went to live there, and was in service to Papa in whatever way Papa said. He was surrendered to God perfectly in the form of Papa. Back to David. I look back over my life and I see how many times that if I had listened better, surrendered completely at the time, how much suffering and misdirection I would have been saved. going to read this again because it's so, so important for us. I look back over my life and I see how many times that if I had listened better, surrendered completely at the time, how much suffering and misdirection I would have been saved. On the other hand, I also look at when beyond everything I wanted or thought I should do, I surrendered heart, mind, and soul to God and gurus, and how I and others were ultimately benefited. There have been times when what God directed was not met with approval by those around me, and these have been most difficult for me. Other points of surrender are when my work took turns that were surprising and unwanted, and I did not surrender to illness, lack of prosperity, frustrated attempts to meet goals, or the myriad other problems life presented. But I did surrender to the fact that it was God who was orchestrating these events, to seeing his hand in it all, and I surrendered to his direction in how I must respond to them. And David is foretelling some of what's to come in this. He, until the end, insisted on perfect health, on perfect recovery, and would not give in to the idea that he was less than that. And yet he was completely surrendered in what God would do with the body. And so he stayed strong. He kept his will strong. He kept fighting for recovery, and at the same time surrendering the outcome completely to God. If God had said, I just want you to lay back and accept this, that's what he would have done. But he felt strongly that God was telling him to continue to see himself in perfection. One of the teachings that David gave around this is whatever we're desiring, whatever we're most focused on when we leave the body, will help dictate our next lifetime. And so if we're focused on a broken body, we can inhabit one in the next lifetime. If we're focused on perfection, healing, strength, then that's what the soul will seek out. But David also worked back from paralysis multiple times to show us that anything is possible. And if God wills it, anything is possible. After David left the body, I was in meditation for quite a while and asking God for an answer to why he couldn't have saved David, because up until the end, up until he actually left the body, and actually after he left the body, I held out a 5% chance that he would come back, that he would re-inhabit the body perfectly without any difficulties, fully strengthened, fully himself. And I asked God, why couldn't he do that? Why couldn't he give us a miracle? And God's response was very clear. He, in my mind's eye, I saw him sweeping his hand and say, if this is not enough of a miracle, how can I convince you? There's no point. And there's much to be served by David's surrendering and sacrificing his body as Christ did. Much that can be earned from that. And in David's surrender to God's perfect will, all of us are strengthened. All of us have boons that we can't even imagine if we can just reach out for them. Surrendering our ego, surrendering our wants, surrendering our desires, and opening ourselves up for what God has in mind for us He knows the whole plan. He knows how the story ends. And so it's in our best interest, as David said here. What can be avoided by surrendering to God's will? Back to David. When God directed me to leave my profession, which after many years of work had put me in a desirable position, and to throw my lot in with him, without any notion of how that would be, I did not hesitate to make the jump. And that's true for those of us who are around. David didn't hesitate when that's what God dictated. I want you to just for a moment think about what would it take to get you from where you are now to be able to have the faith in God that if he said, walk away from everything that you've worked for, walk away from this pinnacle that you've achieved, and I have great things to show you if you only trust me. Could you do that in this moment? Could you surrender everything that you think of as yours if God asked you to? Could you surrender 5% of what's yours, of what you see as yourself, if God asked you to? What about 25%? Where are you on that scale with faith in God? What would God need to do to move you further? How could God prove to you that he truly has your best interest at heart? God is constantly raining his grace down on us. We're too busy to stop and scoop it up, to let it flow naturally into ourselves. I always think it's wonderful to start to play with God and start to trust him in little ways. And so we let God decide what's next. And I think it's important to try it in things that don't matter, that if the outcome doesn't matter, let God decide. It's an easy way to start to see what that feels like, what that faith, what that surrender feels like. So we're ordering something for a meal. We think, what would God have me choose? We're driving someplace where there's multiple routes, and it doesn't matter if we're a little late or a little early. So we tune in and get a sense, which way would God have me go? And my dear husband is very patient about this, but I have, for me, the voice of God is very subtle and very quiet. And so I'll say, no, I don't think I can go on that trip. Or afterwards I'll say, when something gets canceled, I'll say, well, I knew that it wasn't going to work out. But it's so subtle that it feels difficult to give in to it sometimes, especially if there's many people relying on us or if there's expectations. And so we start with these little places where it doesn't matter so much. Should I call someone? What should I do when I get home? Should I do this first or this first? And take the first subtle voice that comes to your mind as the voice of God. Now, if you're coming home from work and your stomach is saying, feed me, feed me, feed me, probably not the subtle voice of God. But if you come home from work and you just get the inkling, I should give so-and-so a call, to stop and do that and see what happens. Perhaps nothing will happen. Perhaps they won't even answer the phone. But perhaps that reaching out will make a difference in their day or your day, or shift the energy somehow. So when I'm talking about learning to surrender, these are some tools, some ways that we can start with that. Back to David. When God directed me to leave my profession, which after many years of work had put me in a desirable position, and to throw my lot in with him, without any notion of how it would be, I did not hesitate to make the jump. When he directed me to take a year in silence and solitude, and I simply knew it was his direction, I set about doing this task, though I had never spent even a single day with the object of keeping mum. In these recent years, he has directed me in a rather nomadic life, beyond my expectation of what I should be doing. I have followed him implicitly, knowing that his will is automatically for the highest good of all. Oh, isn't that wonderful? David's not thinking of himself, but us and the world. I know his hand has been the guiding force in these large trends of my life. What is keeping you from surrendering? What comes up when you think about surrendering to the will of God instead of your own will? And just take a minute in this moment. What is it that keeps you from surrendering? And I'll insert, these are my questions that I had written here, not David's. But I want us to really soul search, literally. What are we afraid of? What would it really cost us to surrender to God's will? Because there's something that's preventing it. It's the most natural thing to allow the Creator to determine our lives. And yet we've built these walls. To quote David, it's been a tough couple thousand years, and we've gone through these lifetimes of scarcity, of violence, of difficulties, and the ego has decided that the world is a tough place. And that God cannot be counted on to protect us. This isn't true. We've chosen to put ourselves into these situations, into these experiences that have made our lives difficult. If we could but open ourselves to God's will, life may be difficult, but we are not challenged by it. We are not touched by it. When you discover what it is, what the difficulty is, what the blocks are, take that to your meditation and discuss it with God. bring those fears, those frustrations, that anger to your meditation blanket and discuss them with God. He's the only one who can explain it to you in a way that will make sense. And when I say explain it, you may not have any actual answers. But when we touch in with God with these concerns, the difficulties are lifted. The frustration is lifted. The need to know is lifted. Because we are one with the universal, who understands that through the lens of eternity, these are but blips. These are scratched knees. These are minor bruises, even if it costs us our life. In a soul's evolution, it's the blink of an eye. Back to David. Then there is a day-to-day life, so many micro moments that are times of surrender. When the body has aches and pains and does not behave the way it should, when frustrations come up in the day, things do not go as planned, and God prompts me to do one thing when my mind thinks it should be doing something else, all these are pinpoints of surrender. By themselves, none are absolutely life-changing. However, when taken as a pattern of surrender to God, these micro moments most definitely make or break a spiritual life. These micro moments make or break a spiritual life. We think it's the big choices that we make that take us to God. But it's the moment-to-moment decisions. And Swami Satchidananda, when I asked him, how does one surrender? And I felt that I was ready to surrender completely. And in that moment, I did. And he could feel the truth of it, and I could feel the truth of it, and God could feel the truth of it. And Swamiji smiled and nodded and said, yes. And now, do it again. Every moment. And at first, it's a moment in a week, or a moment in a month. But the more we do it, the more we see how successful it is. And so we start to learn that that's truly the easier way, to surrender to God's will, to listen to God's voice, to listen to God's direction. Back to David. These micro moments most definitely make or break a spiritual life. Any one of these day-to-day moments may trigger fear, resentment, anger, desire nature. Any one of them can veer me off track from my sadhana, my spiritual practice. Spiritual life is surrendering in both the big events and the little, one strengthening the other. Some master the big decisions, but fail in the micro moments. Others do well in the day-to-day, but get tripped up by some radical change God directs. It must be all, big, little, and everything in between. And when you are surrendered, you experience an alignment with God that transcends the events of this world. It gives you direction that is true and leads you to liberation. You know when to act and when to fight for what is true and when to observe events unfolding. In this alignment, you experience peace and inner assurance that God is guiding you in the myriad events of your life. You know there are no accidents in life. All situations are helping to liberate you from the tyranny of attachments. Enacting a life of surrender to God inevitably leads you to complete union with Him, your eternal Savior and Liberator from ignorance, and you discover the truth of who and what you truly are. Total surrender to God's will brings about the birth of the Savior, that one that lifts you above good and evil, where the lion and the lamb lay together in peaceful harmony. This is a tremendous message worthy of salutation from all mankind, a message that is truly a universal proclamation for the ultimate destiny of all. And that, I want to open it up and ask what does surrender look like in your life? If you were to surrender, what would it look like? You can just unmute yourself and share. Don't make me call on you. What would it look like? Or what does it look like when you surrender?
Jill.
Yeah, David.
I'm having a hard time even getting past that first part because all that comes up is a lot of fear about losing control.
Yeah.
So I can't even see what it would be like to completely surrender.
I understand completely. Trust me. So are you willing to play with it a little bit?
Sure.
So just thinking about what if for the next hour, you let God be in charge. What could that look like?
Okay, let me orient here and do this. As a thought experiment, just letting go. I feel like I'd be sitting in the back seat and God would be like in the front seat kind of steering me around. God would be doing all my actions for me. So I'd be like a babe, like a baby.
Exactly.
Wow, that's interesting.
And what does it feel like when you feel like a baby?
Oh, it feels freeing, like totally, I feel totally free because I'm not attached to any actions that are happening around me. And I know the one who's doing all the actions has his heart and best interest in me, that he'll do everything to keep me protected and safe.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, wow. That's interesting.
So we have to, my German cousin says, we have to eat it like a sausage, tiny little slices. So when we think about the idea of surrendering, it's overwhelming. Because we've built this life, right? We've put it together. We've figured out all the things. We have all the people we're responsible for. And God's too busy to worry about all that.
Right.
And so if we think about just giving God complete control of our whole life, the mind shuts down. It can't even fathom that.
Right.
Because it's hard enough for us to be in charge of our life, let alone bring God into the equation.
Right.
And so we break off a chunk that we feel safe giving to God. And then
That's
you feel that expansion, you feel that safety, you feel that. And so then you try it again.
right.
And you try it someplace where, as you build trust, like any relationship, you try it someplace where there's a little more at stake, where there's other people involved. But if we don't let God take control, if we don't let him work through us, he won't. He won't impose himself. And I think it's a slight misinterpretation, but the idea that God is a jealous God, that's what that's really illustrating, is that God will not, if he's not bidden, he won't come. Which is slightly different than jealous. But
Right.
it's, he won't impose himself on us. We're all feminine and God is masculine and God in that mode is a feminist. He will not enforce his will on us unless we invite him in.
Yeah, the moments where I feel a lot of connection with God is when I'm suffering so strongly towards something and I can't handle it anymore. And I go, God, you have to take it. That's when I feel like I can surrender in those moments. So
When
my
you
work.
don't have another choice.
Yes, exactly. Right. Because it's too painful to hold on. Right. So I get the goal would be now. To do that too in those instances, but also daily. So God was giving me the thought that maybe as a daily practice for 1 hour, I could practice that to the best of my ability and just see how long I can stretch that out.
And on some days, it may feel like you have 30 minutes that you can do that. And some days you may have, maybe on a weekend when you've got more free time, you may have 3 hours that you could try it. And it's, yeah. It's an interesting paradox. Because in surrendering, we feel that true freedom. So it's not a matter of being enslaved, but it's a matter of allowing God, who really is us in this form, to freely move through us, act through us, speak through us, plan through us, love through us. And it becomes the most natural, comfortable thing the more that we do it. When you were talking about it, you find it when you're in those stressful situations or at your end of your rope. And David would tell me, God will come to you just as willingly when things are good, but if what you need is that level of pressure, he will assure that you feel it so that you can call out to him. So we can follow the carrot or God will get out the stick. That happens once we make that commitment that we want to go back to God, that we say, I'm headed that way, then God will try and coax us along. He doesn't do it. He doesn't assert the pain to us, or make life difficult just for his own fun, most of the time, anyway.
Yeah, I mean, most of the pain is our own construction of pain towards ourselves,
Exactly.
So that's how, that kind of a barometer of how much I'm suffering is how little God I have in my life at that moment.
And that's the suffering. We can have very difficult lives. We can have God very present and be living very difficult lives. But David certainly didn't have it easy in the end, but he didn't suffer.
Right.
And he made that really, really clear. That
Yeah.
even through all the difficulties, because he was surrendered, because it was God moving through him through all these things, God working out what needed to be worked out, there was no suffering.
Right.
And that's what we really long for. We don't mind a tough job or a difficult, we even do that to ourselves. Let's go hike to the top of that mountain. Well, there's nothing there that we need to get, but we do it. And we find pleasure in working hard. But it's when there's no suffering. If someone was chasing us up that same mountain, or the only way we could get water was to climb that mountain, we might perceive it as suffering. But if we go on a beautiful hike, then it's joy and bliss.
Yeah, it's like a natural thing for us to want to have challenge. Like we
Yeah.
have a challenge, but the challenge is not so hard to overcome. It's something that's doable.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And that when the challenge has purpose and fulfillment, which is what comes from doing God's work, then it's not suffering.
Yeah.
When we lose sleep caring for a baby, it's not suffering. It may be difficult, but there's love and joy in it.
Same for God. God loves us so much.
Yeah. God always means well. I love that from Papa. It's a little bit tongue in cheek.
Right.
So you have a little bit better idea of what surrender might feel like.
Yeah, I mean that was a good little thought experiment that God gave me those thoughts, and I was feeling it just briefly, just thinking of that, like, oh, I'm a baby. Oh, that's what it's like. Oh, wow. So that was really good. Thank you.
It's that, and it's a baby that's perfectly cared for.
Yes.
God's loving arms. Mother had would tell that story about running into the office. God's the CEO of a business, and all the other people knock or ask, and she is God's little grandchild, just throws open the doors and runs into the arms of God. God scoops her up without hesitation. I think about trust falling into God's arms. And the freedom, almost like you're flying. That perfect equanimity, expansion, release. All the things that are opposite of anxiety and depression and stress, all the illnesses of the modern world, we find relief in God's arms. Anybody else have difficulty grasping that idea of at least surrendering a tiny bit to God? Again, the rule here is if the thought is coming to you, God's asking you to speak it. So surrender to that.
I had a couple thoughts.
Yeah, go ahead, Jeff.
A couple. One is sort of off the subject, but last week when you're, well, Sunday, I think you had a class, right? And that's the one where I said, well, I'll go lay down for a little while, then I'll wake up. Well, I woke up about 4 hours later, but it was about writing the letter to mother or And I thought that was kind of difficult. But
Yeah.
I was talking to her a couple of nights ago, and I got an interesting thought. It was about being a victim and a victor. And it
Oh.
just came to me that me and a lot of maybe other people have had a victim mentality, like, oh, everybody's picking on me. And I said, I'm not going to be a victim anymore. But I never thought about that until I was just meditating on it.
Oh,
Anyway.
that's what mother had in store for you when you.
And David said something about in that tape you sent about listening better.
Yeah.
Well, Mother told me to listen better too, so I guess I got it twice.
Well, and it sounds like you were able to hear it.
I got the message better.
Yeah.
What you're saying about the giving it all up to God, it was
Yeah.
like I've been in charge for so long that it had no idea. I says, how the heck did you do that? I mean, just like no idea. And then the idea of the baby. And
Yeah.
then I got thinking about that old saying about a baby and an old person is all the same. We come
Yeah.
into the world naked. We don't have any hair.
Yeah.
We don't have any teeth, and we don't have any money. And we leave the same way.
Right.
And
Yeah.
I thought if you didn't have any of that stuff, when all that stuff goes up, see there's only God.
Right.
And I had thought that when you got a body, your body, you got a knee ache, a neck ache, a this ache, you got all kinds of aches to choose from. And
Yeah.
then you go to your mental thing and you got all kinds of mentalities to choose from. I'm misery or whatever it is. And then I got up to the soul part and it's okay, so I can be a guy who has all this power and go crazy with it. And go downhill. And then you get up past that, you get to the God part. And there's only one thing to choose. And that's, to me, is how I would give it up. I wouldn't try to say, here it is. I just keep my mind on God, like Mother always used to say.
Yeah.
And to me, that
See,
it sort of
we
goes that
keep
way.
our mind on God, but there's one more step. There's one more step of surrendering to God.
Well, yeah. It's like sometimes when I was just doing some meditation a couple of days ago, I think it got that one more step once you, at least for me,
Yeah.
once I, how did I say that? If I got totally inebriated with God,
Yes.
I think to me that would be giving him everything.
And continuing to do that when you step out of meditation.
And you're that way.
Yeah.
If you're really happy with somebody, you give them everything.
Yes.
So that's the only way I could feel like giving things up, because I have a hard time conceiving just giving up unless I'm there and I'm absorbing everything. Then it just kind of goes away and I feel fine. Maybe I'm giving up
Yes.
from a human point of view.
Yeah, that's it. Giving up the human point of view, giving up the need to judge, the need to decide, the need to control, and just allowing God to put the next thought into your mind.
Yeah, I think that's it. Because the baby, I mean, the baby made me, I
Yeah.
really got a much better picture, because the baby per se doesn't have a will,
Right.
to a degree.
They have wants and desires,
Okay,
but they
but it
only
doesn't have
get filled
control over
through.
anything.
Yeah.
Yeah, no control.
No control.
And it's like
And to
accepting
feel
that I
like
have no
that,
control.
and to feel like that and feel perfectly desireless because everything is being met.
Yeah. You know, it's like I was talking to one of my veteran friends today. When he was in Iraq, he was, you know, I mean, there was danger there. And he said, he just got a, well, I can't tell you, I can't give you the slang because it'd probably bend your ears if I did, but
Okay.
it's that he gave up caring
Yeah.
whether he was going to come home or not, because it was better to do that than stay scared all the time.
And that's the one thing we have to be careful of with that is that we don't become despondent, but that we become detached. That we just, we act in the ways that we know how and then allow God, we act without attachment to the outcome.
Yeah, I think it's just for me, it's getting over the humanity part of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's it. That's it. Letting go of our little selves.
Yeah.
Thanks, Jeff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like that, it's nice when, and what Jeff's talking about is from our master's lesson classes on Sunday nights. And one of the assignments was to write a letter to your guru or God, whatever you prefer. Just telling them how things are, telling them what you feel like, and also to let them write back to you or vice versa. Let God and gurus write a letter to you through your own hand. And almost everybody had difficulty, felt blocks and resistance to doing that. Everyone felt comfortable talking to the guru, but most everybody had challenges of sitting down and writing. And everyone who did sit down and write had really intense breakthroughs and really significant correspondence with gurus. So that's something I can offer. And it's a matter of surrender. When we have those resistances, when we feel those blocks to do something, we say, well, I'll just do this instead. It's often because there's something very powerful waiting there. And so invite everyone to push through those. It's a way to surrender those micro surrenders, those just moment to moment acts of surrender. Not letting the mind and the ego dictate what we do. I'm going to finish with message from Mother. Actually, it's David. We can retreat in life or fight on for progress. Each day we're on a battlefield of some sort, and each day we decide which we are to do. For so many years, my battlefield was on the inner plane. Daily meditations, working in the world without attachment to outcomes, and with my mind focused on God, these were my battlefields. Then God directed me out of the work world and put me solidly face to face with myself in hand-to-hand combat through deepening meditation. There is no greater discipline than this. Going to read that again and think about David saying once he left work is when it really got difficult. We can retreat in life or fight on for progress. Each day we're on a battlefield of some sort, and each day we decide which we are to do. For so many years, my battlefield was on the inner plane, daily meditation, working in the world without attachment to outcomes, and with my mind focused on God. These were my battlegrounds. Then God directed me out of the work world and put me solidly face to face with myself in hand-to-hand combat through deepening meditation. There is no greater discipline than this. God gives us lessons to free us from the uncertainties of life in the body and to be anchored in a supreme state of consciousness. He untangles our attachment to this body and makes us focus on his sacred love and upliftment. So let us join in that superior spirit that no harm can touch and no separation can ever reach, to be forever one in him, merged in his bliss, and comfort no matter the dance steps being taught by our infinite beloved. Please pray with me. O Heavenly Father,
O Heavenly Father,
Divine Mother,
Divine Mother,
I feel the wonder and the beauty,
I feel the wonder and the beauty
of Thy glorious presence,
of Thy glorious presence
in every part of my being,
in every part of my being.
My heart is bursting with my love for Thee,
my heart is bursting with my love for Thee.
I kneel in adoration at Thy feet,
I kneel in adoration of Thy feet,
and surrender myself to Thee,
and surrender myself to Thee.
I feel the power of Thy perfection,
I feel the power of Thy perfection
surging in every cell of my body,
surging in every cell of my body.
My mind and my intelligence,
my mind and my intelligence
are radiant with Thy healing light,
are radiant with Thy healing light.
My soul is filled with the ecstasy and bliss,
my soul is filled with the ecstasy and bliss
of my communion with Thee,
of my communion with Thee.
I and my Father are one,
I and my Father are one.
Blessed Spirit, I am He.
Blessed Spirit, I am He.
Amen. Thank you, Jill.
Thank you, David and Ron.
Thank you. Good night.
Good night.
Thank you, Jill.